Hi listeners, welcome to another episode of Rumpled Rambling. So today I'm inspired by an argument that I just had, right? Do you guys think that it is by force for you to suffer very well, like suffer like they want to squeeze all the life out of you before you can be successful? You don't think things can move in a soft pace, you know? Few hurdles here and there, not soft ahead or hurdles. Did you get the difference? Not soft ahead, hurdles that you just, you know, need to cross over. Not the one that is scattering your brain, is as if you want to turn upside down and be mad inside the gutter. Because I don't think so. I think there are hard times, most definitely. But I think even in hunger and even in poverty, there can be joy. It doesn't have to be helplessness, hopelessness before you say, oh, wow. And yesterday, I was living homeless under the bridge in this place. But today, I have a house in Ikoyi. I don't think that is everybody's story, because we need to be realistic. Not everybody is going to move from living under the bridge to having a house in Ikoyi. It's not... So don't make it seem like it is an ideal, okay? Because anyway, I can't really speak for all other countries, but in this Nigeria, suffering is very well applauded. Almost as if you are missing out if you're not suffering. Someone on Twitter even called it Sufferhead Olympics. There's this train in Lagos that goes to this place called Ladipo. I don't know where else it goes to, but I know about that Ladipo because I've seen it there countless times. I don't know the beginning and the end, but one day I saw them pass. I've seen them pass so many times, but that particular day, you should have seen human beings. They packed themselves like sardines. They packed themselves. Some were on the top of the train, some were hanging at the door. It was a scary sight, like literally just holding it. And like your hand can slip off, it can become sweaty, but these ones, they are holding it as in, don't dare use to these streets. Nothing if it happened, they are holding it on a moving train. Oh. I imagined if after that they got home and there was no light, there was no water, there was no food. And many will still choose that life if given the choice. I keep hoping that it's out of ignorance, because despite the traffic, the poor infrastructure, bad roads, joblessness, inflation, fuel scarcity, power grid blacking out multiple times, people in Nigeria are still hesitant for change. Because election is coming now. We have opportunity that let's clear the road, let everything be all right. But it's like, nah, my uncle, my grandfather must vote for him. I don't know what's going to happen to us. I remember this caregiver we had. We found out she was pregnant when she started working for us. Right? And it was such an intense journey, right? Because this was me experiencing a pregnancy so close, you know, like I've seen people pregnant and, you know, they come back from the hospital with the baby. This one was pregnant, I was taking her for her antenatal and all of that. So, you know, very present. When she fell into labor, I drove to the hospital. I was in the labor room when she had the baby. In fact, right after they brought the baby from her vagina, they just, you know, dropped the baby in my hand. And as soon as I handed the baby back to the doctor, I was taking a few pictures because I was so, you know, I don't know what the word, I wasn't overwhelmed. I was very much fascinated by the whole thing, right? So this was a very personal journey. She had the baby and we were getting ready for, we're getting ready to go home the next day, right? And then it was night. They had just discharged us. And on our way home, she said she was feeling some pain. We rushed back to the hospital. And we said the stitch in her vagina had cut, right? And so This is me at about, they had first of all wasted their time. You know how Nigerian hospitals, they always do as if you force them to go and study medicine. They had wasted our time talking, going back and forth, ignoring us, you know, before they finally told us that, oh, the stitch has cut, but they need to refer us to another hospital in Surulere. I was like, ah, okay. And so I got into the car. I was driving. It was about 11-ish, 11:30-ish. Anyway, full speeding, got to the hospital. They attended to us. This was me still holding a two-day-old baby and just feeding the baby water because the mommy is not available. Anyway, so all of that was done. We're in the hospital for a couple of days. I was sleeping on the bench. No, about 3 days until she was eventually discharged, right? And we come home and, you know, everybody is still, you know, treating her like egg and whatnot. And the baby is like maybe 3 months old, right? And my baby's like that she's tired of staying at home. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, you're here, you're not working, you're still getting paid. Your baby has an opportunity to go to school. Like, because we had already planned that, you know, when the baby is 6 months, start going to creche, all of that. And she's like, she doesn't want. She wants to go back to the village. You guys, my brain was busting. I said, I don't understand. Did they use village to swear for you? What do you want to go and do in the village? She's like, she just wants to go there. I'm like, go there to go and do what? Get pregnant again for somebody and you will not know who the father of the baby is. Because this one, we already didn't know. She wasn't sure who the father was. And I'm like, you see how rough life has been for you as they dropped you as a baby in the village with your grandmother, right? You've seen that you've grown up and the best that you could do for yourself was to go and be a house girl. Like, don't you want better for your baby girl? Don't you want to give her the opportunity to have an education? You guys, I promise you, I was talking to the wind. Her ear was blocked. She would not want to hear. She said she wants to go to the village. And I'm like, so when you go to the village now, you're going to drop your baby with your grandma. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, I witnessed the labor. Was it not paining you that you want to go and drop this baby that... Let me not be taking it personal, right? It's been over a year now, but I still think about it. Right, I still think about that child and I hope she's okay. Of course she will be. Now Niger we did, you know, somehow things will be okay, you know. Not that she doesn't have the opportunity to be better than her mother, but I just needed that second. Anyway, back to my main discussion. Right? Nigerians have intense love for grass to grace story. Even grass to grass story too. So they can say, yeah, it is well, or is your auntie from the village. It's not important that you are a doctor. But once it comes out that you are a doctor whose father killed her mother after you were born and you were raised by snakes in the Ambakaliki forest, then they now sold you to a white man who took you as a slave to London, where you now did night school and farmed during the day until you graduated and got honored by the queen. Wow! Wow! You have become a national treasure. Whether or not you are a good doctor, that's not the point. You know, we've forgotten that one. The point is now the story. The story. That is what's important to them. And we lack focus, Sha. Minus me. On a good day, I'm focused. On a good day, I'm focused because another thing that they like is meeting. Something that can be a text message. Fiam, 2 hour meeting. A simple email will be a meeting for 4 hours just so they can say, oh, I've had a busy day, my schedule has been tight. What are you discussing, please, for 4 hours? How to end world hunger? Don't get me wrong, there are some days that are so filled with activities that when I see my bed, I just crash. But it's not every day now. I'm not running the country. Even the person that is running the country service still has free time. So I don't get what is so important about being unproductively busy all the time. All that type of busy that has no head. I don't believe most people are really busy because I see a lot of busy people doing nothing. In this our country, that is only headache that is everywhere. Headache and traffic. Forget. Oh, God. The people that just think it's cool to be busy and unavailable. Nigerians just, you know. Please, your value is not determined by how busy you are. That is my point. Okay? That's not what your value is determined by. So, me personally, I don't like stress. Especially when it's not my concern. I don't like suffering. Suffering is not my... I've suffered, dude. Don't get me wrong. It's not as if I've never suffered. But you see that suffering I've suffered? I've suffered this for the rest of my life. I'm not suffering again. Anything that is suffering, count me out. Count me out. I'm not there. I'm absent. God forbid bad thing is not my portion again. Now, it's only softness, luxury, love, beauty, warmth, loyalty. Those are the things that will be surrounding me. You see any suffering? Out the window, not my portion. Because as I am now, I'm so quick to say no wahala because I don't want stress in my life. Because there's actually no wahala. Please leave me alone. Anything that can be solved, solve it. The one that cannot be solved, leave it alone. Leave me alone. Probably I know the finish. Life continues. It's not me that I'll now be carrying cross on my head as if I'm Judas Iscariot, because I'm not Judas Iscariot. Okay, so I must breathe. Fresh air must blow my head. I read something on Instagram the other day that said, we need to stop glamorizing overworking, please. And I know that there are people that like it, too, you know. They are not active. It's like oxygen is not in their nose. But the absence of sleep, good diet, exercise, relaxation, and time with friends and family, it's not something to be applauded. Okay, like I'm too busy, I can't make time to. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that, because when you die now, your work is going to continue. They're not going to say, oh wow, Lagbaja has died. Wherever will we find a carpenter? Fiam, tomorrow they have called Mutiu. Mutiu is there, he saw anything. So, prioritize. We have to prioritize. Too many people wear their burnt out. They like it as they are burnt out. It's a badge of honor and it needs to change. And man, like that tweet just hits me because it's facts. Your grass story isn't one to be ashamed of, but people also don't need to be sad that they don't have one or start inventing one just to sell or be relevant. Like, that's another thing. And that's another thing about people and trying to prove that they are worse off than you. As if there's a price for relating to suffering. I don't understand. You say, oh, I had accident. I even had accident. They burnt my house. They took my car. What happened? What? I'm telling you my own. You'll be using your suffering to be dragging with me. You know, control. Control. You cannot complain without another person pouring their own complaint on you. It's a bad habit. Please, if you do it, stop it. Let people vent without you stretching your own. Like, you think your own is bad? My own is worse, sir. My own is worse. That's not what anybody wants to hear when they are dealing with something. It's like, oh, I'm dealing with loss. Oh, this person died. I'm so devastated. Say, oh, wow. I remember when my father died 10 years ago. Like, I know sometimes the intention is just so they know that you can relate to what they are feeling, right? But most times, that's not the time. That's not the time for it. There's no time for it. That's so. I'm also wondering where the people that were doing I Better Pass My Neighbor, where they are now. Because they are very few. Because now nobody wants to be better than their neighbor. They want to be worse. If you are down, I'm downer. If this I think suffering is idolized, basically. No? Why am I a strong woman? Because I'm a strong woman, that's why. It's not because I can stomach being beaten by my husband or I can cover bruises with makeup and fake smiles. That type of suffering is not what makes you a strong woman. Please stop that nonsense. It's not because I can run a business to fend for my family, including a husband who squanders the money on alcohol and other women. It's not because I can wash and clean and iron and cook and breastfeed and make love and sell wares to put food on the table all in the same day. That type of sufferhead is not what is making you a strong woman. No. This type of suffering should not be anyone's ideal life, please. please. And I was thinking that this was, you know, backward thinking. This was thinking then. But no, with some interaction, I can still see how it's still going to happen. It's like, you know, I have to do everything and drag all my power. You will be old and haggard before your time. You'll be looking like a scarecrow in the mirror. You'll be wondering why other people your age, they are looking fresh, looking like bouncing baby girls. Meanwhile, you'll be looking like you have been grinding tomatoes since they gave birth to you. In this my life now, any way I can avoid suffering, I do. Jump and pass straight. I can delegate, I delegate. Except it's something that I feel like really needs, you know, my eye on the detail. Otherwise, if you like holy laziness, that's your cup of tea. Money is not wasting when I'm spending it on comfort. It's not wasting at all. It's just, that's what is useful. It's not when I die, somebody will be looking for what they want to inherit. And I was suffering this my lifetime. It's not my portion, no. I reject it. Which one is I must always wash my car myself when I can afford? If I feel like it, or as per I'm less busy, hobby, in the mood, you know, all of that one. Oh, no problem. Otherwise, straight to car wash. I love to cook, right? Like, I love it. But I also love to eat out. And for as long as I can afford it, I will continue to do so. When it's not written anywhere that I must die in the kitchen, what happened? It's not even the same thing. Which one is we're outside, we'll know it as we're outside, we'll be waiting to go home so I can go and be sweating to cook smoky jollof rice on a good day. Sure, why not? Every now and then, because I really like the kitchen. But not when it becomes an obligation, that is something that is by force, you must do it. I don't want that one. A group of elderly women were talking down a young woman in my presence a few months back about having a nanny for her two kids. And lol, I don't understand how it affected them, to be honest. Anyway, their point was that she didn't need the nanny. She could do the work herself, take care of the kids, her husband, and go to work too. Well, maybe she could, but it was her choice. And she didn't have to. She could pay for help, but no, shame on her for paying for help. Like, God forbid for them, for this mentality. God forbid. And it's in so many areas. It's in so many areas, you know. And the ones that are coming to mind are just the ones that I have experienced firsthand, or, you know, seen around me. And it's like, ah, God forbid for this behavior. Listen, anything that you can do to make life easier for yourself, do it. Do it. Because when you die, nothing is going to stop. Life is going to continue like you never existed. So please, take a break and breathe. Okay? That fresh air, collect it. Because by the time they are burying you inside that small box 6 feet below the ground, nothing, no. Don't end with that. Story don't finish. So please, luxury is not just about designer bag, designer shoes, about comfort in your basic life. Comfort in your basic life as far as you can afford it. If you can't afford it, be doing the one that you can afford. Because I was telling a worker that I work with the other day that, listen, all this money that you're always pumping, every morning she will send money to her husband, every morning she will send money. I'm just like, I don't understand. Does he not have anything that he's doing? Have you gone to go and buy ice cream for yourself to lick before and just calm your brain down? She was like, okay. And she did it. And you guys, it's been like maybe 3 years down the line and she's still telling me thank you. This is somebody's mommy, oh. Mommy with grown children. I'm just like, you will just be suffering. Because the people that I have seen that have suffered is... I haven't seen one that ended well, that will say, okay, wow, we paid off. At the end of the day, it was worth it. So in between, any way you can enjoy, just use your last money and go. See, you should not say that. I advise you to be financially reckless. Let's get this straight, okay? But I'm just saying, me personally, right? let me do it like that, okay? if I say, okay, I'm tired, I'm stressed, this is my last money, I'm gonna go buy a burger, okay? I'm gonna do that, because after, when I'm broke, I will drink garri and I will sleep and money will come again, because that is life. As far as there is life, there is hope, okay? That is me. I'm not gonna say, oh, this is my last money, I'm saving it, let me not buy the burger. That's not me, because I don't like to suffer. I say, it's my last money, I don't want to enter the Uber. It's either that or I stay at home and I sleep. Nothing is by force. Okay? So please, if you're one of the sufferhead people that want to come for me, I'm here and I'm waiting for you. Give me your opinions on why suffering is important. Why is imperative for success? Why is imperative for existence? Because I don't believe it. I don't agree. I think it is most times avoidable, you know, if we take things just take it slow, because last we're all gonna be away from this world, so while we're here we must chop life. Happy weekend, guys. Bye.